Imagine coming into that orphanage and say, we're going to give you all this, this inheritance, family name, and we're going to leave you in this orphanage and we're going to visit you every day. We're going to leave you in that environment. You cannot leave an orphan in its environment and restructure his identity. God did not leave them in Egypt and say, I'll bring the promised land to Egypt. He's bringing a promised land, but he calls you out. You have to come out of the environment that's dominated by the systems of this world. There's an orphan spirit, a fatherless spirit over the world system. Some of you are raised in good families. I'm still not talking about that. The Father didn't design it to come and set up camp here. He designed it to bring you out of that environment so he could bring you into a place to restructure your identity, to restructure your image, and to love you. He loves you there, but it's not designed to just keep you in that image. He has to bring you out of that image to make you who he wants you to be. To do that, he calls you out. This is the purpose of our salvation. We're saved, but he calls us out to bring us to where he is. And from where he is, he initiates the power of his love. He brings you into himself and through the power of that love. And that's a love, I'm just telling you, I've been doing this a long time. And I hit this realm every once in a while when we were building that map. I would come and I'd cross into the Father's love. And I was like, glory, glory. But there is levels to him now that are unfolding that are nothing short of miraculous. And the power of his love to radically transform virtually overnight. He can transform issues within our life overnight. For instance, Jesus said, if a branch in me beareth fruit, I'll pruneth it so it bears more fruit. How do you look at that verse? Oh, I got to go through a pruning season. Because we always look at things from an earthly perspective. He wasn't even speaking from an earthly perspective. He said, if a branch in me bears fruit, I'm going to bring him up into the Father. And through the love of the Father, through abiding in me, where I am in the Father, I'm going to prune him there with a power that's not of this world. And then he'll bear much fruit from me. We always look at things in the natural. We have to stop doing that. Amen. One of the things you got to do is you got to let the Lord, to let him transform you and renew your mind and set you on a pathway. Now, a lot of times you set yourself on a pathway because you got this certain way you do things. Listen, if you've been doing things a certain way for 20 years and you're in the same place, you're going to have to let him get you on another path. Because what happens if your ways can deliver you to a certain level, but you keep hitting the same level, and if your ways can't get you out of that level, you're going to have to change your approach. You're going to have to let him change your approach. And you might have to do it the way he actually said to do it, because he has a perfect way that he created here to the Father. You can move into the Father's presence in many different ways. I remember my spiritual father who was hitting this place. He worshiped God. Listen to this. He worshiped God for 8 hours a day on his back, lifting his hands. Just focused on the Father, worshiping, worshiping, worshiping. And he did that for 10 months. And he taught people to actually do that for 10 months. And he broke into this awesome love. I'll tell you this, there's a little bit easier way. Amen? A little bit easier way. Now, you can break into the presence of the Father. I'm not saying you're not doing that. I'm just telling you that if we are dwelling with the Father, our DNA is going to reflect it. Our countenance is going to reflect it. Listen to me. The Father's going to become Father. And that means he's going to be Father over your spirit, soul, body, countenance, finances. Every part of you is going to start reflecting that he's your Father. Your nature is going to reflect it. Your responses, your attitudes, your actions are going to reflect it. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Because I had a very imperfect situation this week. One that overwhelmed me, to be honest with you. But I brought it to the Father and I came back with perfect love to handle that situation. The first time I didn't handle it properly, but I went into the Father. I brought that situation to the Father and I came back with him and God fixed the whole thing. Immediately. Well, I don't know if he fixed it forever, but he fixed that situation And if you understood the situation, it's been an unfixable situation, but it was amazing how love can shift all that. I decided I can't do this on my own. It's overwhelming me. I brought it to the Father. I kept it there until love started flowing, until I was sauced in it, until I was baptized in it. Say baptized. And then I come back, made the phone call. It was amazing. There was no resistance whatsoever. And there was more than resistance before. That's what love will do. Amen. But we'll begin to reflect Him, because you will dwell in something that's far, far greater than what we've been dwelling in the charismatic gospel circles. It's not enough to just drink a cup in service. It's not enough to have an encounter. We must come to the place, if we're going to be freed completely and become full-age sons, spirit, soul, and body, where His nature will dwell in every part of us. If we're going to come to that place where we fully dwell, we're going to have to dwell. It can't be encountered, it's dwell. But I promise you, I don't know how to shout it. I don't even know how they were able to write about it. It's more than any one of us can ever imagine. It's deeper, greater, far greater. I've tasted of His love, but nothing like this level now. It's overwhelming, and it keeps growing, and it's expansive, and it changes you. You're happy. You wake up happy. You have joy. Can you imagine Christians having joy? Actually waking up with joy. There's not a lot of joy out there, because joy, true joy, is a fruit of the Father's love. It's a fruit of being loved. Amen. So I want to pick this up where we left it off the other day on Sunday, and I'll try to take you into some of the depths. It goes in so many directions once you start dwelling in the Father. John 14, 15, 16, 17 becomes like honey, and it has multiple. I don't know how He did this, how He said what He said, and the revelations contained in these words, and how deep and wide they are, and how they go everywhere in all places. And He contained a mystery of the ages in these four chapters. The mystery of the ages are embedded in them. It has so many levels to it. Your life will stop being miserable when you start dwelling with the Father. You won't be miserable anymore. We're miserable because we haven't gotten high enough. And the enemy will make life miserable for you if you live here when you're supposed to be living with Him. If you're getting behind schedule and not following, Jesus said, if any man follow me, if he loves me, let him follow me. If any man followeth me, he'll be with me where I am. And where I am, there shall he be also, because I'm going to bring you. But if you do not follow him in accordance to his timing, then what happens is his grace is moving you on up, and you're supposed to be moving up the chain with God. And if you're not, you're going to get subjected to trials. And when you get subjected to trials, it's going to get very painful for you. And there's nothing you're going to do to work yourself out of that unless you get out and come up. Because what's going to happen, those trials will get unbearable and they'll break you. Then when they break you, brokenness is good, but you can't live in brokenness. Some people like to just teach brokenness. You can't just live in brokenness. You think God wants to deliver you from an orphan spirit just so you can live in brokenness? Brokenness is only part of it, just breaking the old man down. You don't have to actually go that route. You could actually submit him and come on up. But it's not living in brokenness, it's living in the Father's glorious love. There's nothing about His love that teaches brokenness. Brokenness is just for the old man. It's not for the new man. Amen. Oh, He's all about glorious love. He's all about building you up. He builds every part of you. He's about being your Father at every single level. Not just an emotional high, not just a visitation. He becomes your Father. He'll take over your lineage. He'll restructure your soul, pluck you up from where you were, and root you down into himself. He goes, now I'm your father. You bear my DNA. You bear my image. Your mind can bear his image. Your thoughts can bear his image. He gives you the mind of Christ. That's what love does for you. Amen. So John 14, he says, in a little while, the world will see me no more. We got into this very heavily. I encourage you to get that if you weren't here. The world seeth me no more, but you see me. He wasn't talking about, notice, he goes, you see me now. In a little while, I'm going to be taken from you, is what he's saying. The world's not going to see me anymore, but you will see me. He's not talking about the eyewitness there. He's talking about where he is in the Father. He goes, but I'm going to give you eyes to see me. But you're not going to see me with those eyes. You're going to see me with another eye. You're going to still see me. You're going to know where I'm at. And because I live, you will live also at that day. And there's a marvelous revelation of that day in chapter 16. That day you shall know. Say, you shall know. He had already talked about he would dwell in the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father. When he says I'm in the Father, he's saying I'm dwelling in the Father. And believe me, the Father's dwelling in me. Or believe me for the work's sake. He said, believe that I dwell in the Father, because it's a necessity. You believe I dwell in the Father and the Father dwells in me here, because I'm going to bring you into this relationship that I have, into this oneness. And this is what he said, at that day when I go away, you shall know that I am in my Father. I dwell in him. He dwells in me. And notice what he says, and I, he says, I dwell in my Father and you dwell with me in the Father. Say, with me. You're going to know it. He goes, you're not going to know, just know it. You're going to experience it. I'm going to bring you to where I am. That's the ultimate salvation. I was talking to somebody today. They said, this is the ultimate salvation. The cross is part of your salvation. It was the door to ultimate salvation, is the full restoration of a prodigal son or a orphaned person all the way through the cross to the full restoration of the Father's love, to dwell with him. Because the first thing love's going to do, and you write this down, it's going to shatter all separation. The first thing love's going to do, like a torrential rain, it's going to remove the separation between you and the Father. You're not going to have to fight separation on day in and day out. That's what love does. Isn't that glorious? So you're going to know that I'm in my Father, but you're with me in the Father, and I'm with you in the earth. Now let's get into the next level. Now he's actually going to tell you, because we can talk to you about this all night long, but if we don't tell you the pathway, then all we're going to do is stand up here and here and have a good time, but you're still wondering, well, how do I get there? Because I want to know, how do we get to the Father? He's not going to tell you about this relationship of oneness and not show you how to get there, tell you how to get there, give you all that you need to get there. And I promise you, if you will follow his plan, just like you followed him into the cross, he will bring you to the Father. He knows how to do this. You say, you will gnosko. You'll know. He's going to want you to know. He wants you to intimately know and understand this glorious place called oneness, union. Not just knowing it. You've got to come to the place you can experience it daily. That's what he wants. When you do, you're going to reflect the Father. You're going to look like him. It's a matter of weeks, what I'm looking at, experiencing right now, how fast he can transform us. I have found the hope of this generation. I know how he can radically transform us very quickly. It's in a place, and it's in his love where he is. Amen. So John 14, verse 21. So he's going to go into this now. He's going to start giving the mysteries, and it's important that we read these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because if you try to interpret them, and you don't understand what he's saying, you can go down a very wrong path. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about here. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest it in him. Now, someone who comes out of a works-oriented environment or performance-oriented soul, the first thing they want to do is shift in motion to start doing the commandments. Oh, well, let's keep the Sabbath and the Father will love us. Let's keep his Ten Commandments. Let's read them every day. Make sure that I keep his Ten Commandments. If I'm good, I'm good enough, you're going to love me. Sounds what he's saying there, but that is not what he's saying. Read on. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and we will manifest. Now, we definitely want the manifestation of the Father in the earth. His manifestation is different. It's very full. When he comes on the scene, you're going to know it, because he's not going to leave creation in any way. If he sees any part of creation that doesn't look like him, he'll immediately heal it and restore it. That's what he did when he was working through Jesus. Every time he saw somebody that didn't look like himself, fallen humanity immediately started the restoration. That's just what he does. When he's present, he will never leave you the way you are. That's the difference between him being present, though. He's going to tell you how to get him present. Amen. Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it you'll manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered, now he's going to interpret verse 21. He's going to interpret what he said, and you keep my commandments. He that have my commands and keepeth them is he that is that loveth me. You cannot work for God's love. You cannot ever do anything to earn it. He's not talking about earning his love. He's talking about bringing you to the place where his love flows without measure. God loves you unconditionally, whether you ever do anything about what I'm going to talk to you about or not. But just because he loves you unconditionally doesn't mean you know how to receive it. Or you're in the position of where that fountain flows without measure. Say amen. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if any man loves me, he has a defining revelation if you love him. He said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Say words. He did not say, keep my commandments there. He said, he will keep my words. The reason why he first said commandments, because he was drawing back on the original commandment, the one and only commandment. And if you do the first one, you'll automatically do the second. You cannot do the second commandment without the first. There's one great commandment. Love the Lord your God. Notice this. With all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with all of your soul, love the Lord. If you can do that the way God deems that is proper, then you'll automatically love your neighbor. Because when you love him, you're going to be brought to where he is. And it's going to take you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength to do it. It's going to take every part of you to come into where he is. If you do that, he's going to fill you with a love to love. It's just amazing. Just the situation this week, how God turned a very unlovely situation into a very lovely situation. And had nothing to do, but had everything to do with his love, how he turned that around and how he could turn all your emotions around. All your twisted stuff. Do you think God's going to draw you out of being an orphan and then put his power on you and send you back in the world dysfunctional? You know, we have a lot of dysfunctional sons operating in the gifts of the Spirit. We have a lot of dysfunctional leaders, a lot of dysfunctional preachers, a lot of dysfunctional pews. We have a lot of dysfunction. Dysfunction is a product. I mean, all those dysfunctional people, if you ask them, do you know Father? Most of them will say yes. They say, do you know the love of the Father? They say yes. I was I was one of those dysfunctional, but he's removing dysfunction at a rapid pace right now. I grew up dysfunctionally, but he's removing this stuff very quickly. Because I am rooted in him now, and God the Father is not dysfunctional. When you dwell with God the Father, he will not leave you in a dysfunctional state. He won't. It's just impossible. That's why he said, if any man say that he loves God and he dwells in God and hates his brother, he says, you may know God, but you're not dwelling in the Father, because you cannot, utter impossibility, dwell in the love of the Father and hate somebody. That's just an utter impossibility. You're just dwelling in the presence. There's people who can dwell in the presence and still hate. But you cannot dwell with the Father where he is in his love and come back out of there hating somebody. That's utterly impossibility. You can't. Love will not leave you that way. It will remove that immediately from you. Now you can dwell in the presence. But that's the same thing as say, I know God, but I live in dysfunction for 40 years. You know of God. If you dwell with God, he is going to purge your dysfunction. Amen. I'm talking about dwelling with the Father in his love where he is, not just dwelling in the presence. Because the presence is a wonderful realm. I love the presence of God. But you can have all your issues in the presence of God, and you can keep them for a very long time. What you can't do is get all the way up into where the Lord reveals the Father and starts revealing his love to you. And he starts revealing that love. He won't leave that dysfunction in you. It'll start leaving. Amen? Fear and all of that. Pride, all of it. Amen. Verse 23, Jesus answered, said, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words. And my Father, notice this, will love him. Well, does that mean if the Father won't love me if I don't keep his words? No, it's not what he's saying. You got to understand what he's saying. There's three parts here. Understand what he's saying. It's really important you understand this verse. It's huge. Say, if a man loves me. Now, what is the context? The context is Christ is drawing us, preparing a place in the Father, a dwelling place, that where I am, there shall you be also. The context is he's leading you to the Father. The context is he's bringing you into the dwelling place of the Father. So if he says, if any man love me, let him keep my words, because this is the way you're going to get there. You're going to get where I'm taking you by keeping these words. And when you keep my words, these words, not the whole Bible. Not the rigidity of the law. Not trying to be good enough. Keep these words that I'm speaking to you in the upper room. The words of John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Keep what I'm saying to you. They have the power to bring you to where I am. These words that I'm saying have the power to bring you into the presence of the Father. And if any man loves me, he will keep these words. And I will bring him into the Father, where the Father is, and then my Father will love him. The Father loved you before. When he's saying the Father will love you, he will initiate the baptism of his love. He will initiate the transforming properties of his love. He will initiate the power of his love against every part of you that's not been conformed. He will initiate his image and begin immediately starting to clothe you from above. That's what he says. My Father will love him. And the reason why he had to bring you out of that orphan environment to bring you into a full environment. And then once the Father starts initiating that, then he says, my Father will love him. And then we, my Father and I will come and then make our abode in you in the earth. But first things are first. Why? For the Father to dwell with you. What is the Father? Love. The Father has to conquer you. He has to conquer the old. He has to conquer everything that's not of him. And as he's transforming you in this glorious thing we call love, he's going to come back and dwell with you in love. And that's what he was doing with Jesus. And Jesus came before the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. The Father's love started coming up out of him. And when it did, the Holy Spirit started anointing that. Jesus said it himself, the Father doeth the works. He said it this way. He said, the Father that's dwelling in me is doing the works. What this generation must obtain, must say must, the Father dwelling in us. When the Father's dwelling in us, listen, I know there's 1,000 revelations about the Father dwelling in us, and there's 1,000 songs. The fruit of the Father dwelling in us was we will act like Him, look like Him. His nature will come out of us. His image will come out of us. The image of perfect, unadulterated love will come out of us. It will conquer so fast our stuff. It's going to conquer us at a level we're not accustomed to being conquered. I'm going to tell you something. There is a difference. I don't know how to shout it. I'll scream it to you if I have to. There is a difference between the Father loving you here and the Father loving you there. There is a level there that's not like this one here. Amen. And Jesus is on a mission. People don't understand. His heartbeat is to reveal the Father. He came to the cross not just to save you, to bring you into the presence of the Father. We're doing humanity and the Christianity an injustice by leaving them in the earth. Getting them saved and teaching them to have a positive mentality and positive words. That is not what this is about. We get their spirit born again and we leave their soul the way it is. We try to change all this here. That's not the way God designed us. He designed us to transform in Him. And it's a lot of fun doing it. I got purged and pruned this week, and I had a lot of fun getting pruned. And all the other times I thought about being pruned was a miserable, miserable experience. And I walked around, everybody else could see you're miserable. I'm going to a pruning season. I got pruned and I was happy about it. I laughed and cried in joy. I'm like, did we just get pruned, Father? Is that what happened? But in the love of the Father, pruning is not like pruning here. He can prune you while you're happy. You say, God, do it again. That was so good. That was so glorious. Do it again. That's what His love does. He changed something mighty big in me this week. Oh, man. When God takes your soul out of one place and sticks it in another place, God's going to plant you in His DNA. Not just part of you, all of you. Do you know that He purchased your body? And He has rights to fuel your body with resurrection life. He has rights to pour His love through your body. To your flesh and blood body, He has rights to pour His love through your body, renewing you like an eagle, renewing your strength, renewing your countenance. My strength has changed. Something shifted this week in my strength level. I mean, just this heaviness is gone. And I'm like, Lord, we're a week and a half into this, Father. This is really good. I can't wait to see what's going to happen tomorrow. Maybe another pruning. Amen. Oh, He wants us to reflect His glory. He wants to come and dwell here. And Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. What words? These words are threaded through 14, 15, 16, 17. He has so much to say about this relationship of oneness, of bringing you into where the Father is. If you'll keep these words, and we'll teach you another time, but we've taught a lot about how you keep the words through acknowledgement, through awareness, through focus, through holding them. Listen, the devil knows the power of these words. Start keeping these words. He will try to keep you out of that door. But listen, he doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the power. One of the administrations of the Holy Spirit, he talks about in chapter 16, he will convict and convince you. a sin of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, he's going to come and convict a lost world of sin. And then he moves into the convincing operation of righteousness. He must, through these words, convince you of your right standing with the Father, because there's a whole lot in you that's not convinced you're in right standing. And you're trying to approach a holy God and a loving God, and you're being reminded daily of everything you are presently. I'm finding that God accepts you just like Christ accepts you. The Father is going to perfect you there with Him, so He's going to give you an open door all the way to Him, even with all your stuff. And so the Holy Spirit has to convince you you're the righteousness of God in Christ. You're not coming through your own, so don't worry about it. Because one of the great things that keeps people out of that door and out of the Father is your stuff. Unworthiness, your sin, or your issues. And the enemy is really good at reminding you about all that. How many of you are praying? You don't feel worthy to be there. That stuff will block you. You got to go. The Holy Spirit will convince you. Say, no, you're the righteousness of God in Christ, because you're found in Him, not having your own. It's not your own that's going to get you there. It's mine. You're going to come into me and I'm going to get you there. And then He's going to convince the world of judgment. That the prince of this world's been judged. He's got to convince you that that power has been broken over your life. That the enemy does not have power over you. He's got to convince you of that. So when you're going through the door and all hell's breaking loose, you have power to move through that storm. You have power to move through that stuff. He doesn't have the power to keep you down there. Amen? So He keeps my word. I will bring you to where I am in the Father, and then my Father will initiate His love for you. I'm not saying the Father doesn't come and love us here. God, if He did, we'd be changed. He doesn't do it enough, because that's not the way He set it up. He set it up for you to come to where He is. And it's full there. It's just like He said it was. It's so full. And so He said, my Father will initiate His love, and then we will come and make our abode with you. That's revival. That's the final revival right there, when He comes and makes our abode. Now, let me say this before we move on, because this is really good. He's going to bring the Holy Spirit in this equation. Verse 25, He says, these things I've spoken unto you, being present with you. I'm present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. He goes, listen, you don't know what I'm really talking about here, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He's going to help you. He's going to remind you of everything I'm telling you. He's going to show you exactly what words to keep. He'll show you how to keep the words, and He's going to teach you jurisdictional transfer, and He's going to bring you to where I am. He's going to teach you all these things. You've got to have Him. Understand His mission before He launches you to the world. He's going to launch you to the Father. The Holy Spirit's going to bring you to Christ. Christ is going to bring you to the Father. Even John 16, Jesus Himself said, I will. He goes, right now I'm talking to you in Proverbs. He goes, but in that day, I'm going to openly reveal the Father to you. Say, openly reveal. Now notice what He said. This is a peace I leave with you in verse 27, verse 28. You have heard how I said, I go away. I'll come again. Now listen, if you love me, you would rejoice at what I'm telling you right now. Because I said, I go unto the Father. The Father's greater than I. He goes, listen, I know you enjoy being with me. I know you enjoy seeing the kingdom in my fellowship, because He was with them in an earthly body. I know you enjoy it. He goes, but you'll rejoice, because if He goes, I'm going to the Father. And if I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He's going to bring you to where I am. And the fellowship that you think is wonderful now, wait till I introduce you to my joy, the Father. Wait till I introduce you to oneness in spirit, where the Father's love is not just in the natural, that the love of my Father is going to overtake you. Wait till He's greater than I, and I'm going to bring you to where He is, and you're going to experience my joy and my glory that I have with Him. I'm going to do that for you. These are words that you keep. These are words that bring you. You have to have not only the words, you have to have the revelation of those words. You have to have the Holy Spirit, the revelation of these words. And you have to meditate and keep them and move with them. Let them become a compass and let them
create a compass to where I'm not moving to the right or to the left. This is the foundation of why you came. Jesus, you died for me to get me to the Father. I am going to find the Father in fullness, the way that crazy preacher is up there talking about it. Okay, so he says that, right? He said, I told you before it come to pass, it's going to happen. It's going to pass. He goes, you might believe it's going to happen. I understand where Jesus got all his faith from. Man, you dwell in glory with the Father. It's just you come out lovely. Things are lovely. I have a really good outlook on life right now until I turn the news on. Man, when you've been in the Father and you turn the news on, you will see the difference. Anyway, so hereafter I'll not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, but he has no place in me. I want you to notice verse 31. Look at verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Now, where are they? They're in the upper room. I'm pretty sure that John 15 comes after John 14. Right? John 15, what does it say? I am the vine, my Father's the husband. But notice what he says at the end of John 14. What's he say? He says, arise, let us go hence. Where are you going? They didn't go anywhere. Do you think he just got them to stand up and said, arise, let us go hence? Do you know what happened right there? He took them into the presence of the Father. He says, now look, boys, you don't know what I'm talking to you, but I'm going to bring you in and let you have a taste. He took them into the presence of his Father. That's our cue. We can corporately bring them in. He brought them in. Arise, let us go hence. He goes, now I am the vine. My Father's the husband of this kingdom. John 15, he's talking about fruit. They're in the Father now. He's brought them in the presence of the Father. He's talking about the fruit they're going to bear. He goes, now let me reiterate the words that you're going to keep. Abide in me. Listen, Christ. But where is he now? He's in the Father. Abide in me in the place that I've prepared of the Father. Abide in me in the Father. Say, abide in me in the Father. That word abide, dwell, it's the same word. My Father, he builds a dwelling place. It comes from meno, the word meno. It means to dwell, to abide. It's the same word used throughout John 14, 15, 16. My Father, in my Father's house, there's many dwelling menos, places. Actually, it's monet there. But it's a root from Mano. Every time he says abide or dwell, it's Mano. Mano, Mano. Dwell. Abide in me. And let my words, again, he says it again in verse 7. Abide in me and the Father, and let my words abide in you. Then you can ask what you will. What did he say? In that day, when you know that I am in my Father, you're in me, then you can ask what you will. He just reiterates that again right there. If you abide in me and the Father, my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. Notice the position. It's all about getting us to the Father. See that? What we do is we don't make it far enough. We don't get transformed enough. We live miserable here in full gospel. And then we're trying to function here, but we don't get anything done. We just spin our wheels. We get a little bit done, but he said, you'll bear great fruit if you'll dwell where I am in the Father. If you'll let me bring you to the Father. Isn't that glorious? If you'll meditate 14, 15, 16, 17, I would encourage you to read those four chapters every day. Read them and let the Holy Ghost start talking to you, because he's got to forge that compass on the inside of you. He's got to open those words to you and give you revealed revelation, because it's the revelation you're going to move by, not the knowledge. The knowledge is not going to get you in there. It's the revelation. The Holy Spirit's going to grant the revelation as you meditate. When he opens the revelation, your spirit will move to that place. Those words have the power to get you there. Faith will release if you'll do it properly. You need a Holy Spirit. You need revelation. You need these specific words and faith, and you'll move into the Father. Amen. These words spake Jesus. Again, just for a minute, look at verse 8. For I have given unto them, Father, the words that you gave me. All of this was spoken in the upper room. All of these words is what you keep. These words have the power to deliver you into perfect love. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for the glorious words, the honey
These words are like no other words, Lord. They bring us to the Father. I know you're anticipating this generation that will come to the fullness of the Father's love, the fullness of revelation. So the Father, you can come and dwell with us in the earth. You restructure us and we can bear your image to the world. We'll carry you in your image to the world in Christ. That you'll make your abode with us. It's been such a marvelous 10 days, Father. My heart now goes out to everyone will find this room. My heart, that is my prayer, Father. It was your prayer, Lord. You will that we would be with you where you are. We could behold your glory. The glory of the Father, for the Father loved you from the foundations of the world. Grant grace to the highways of Zion in the heart to find your fullness. We will go from strength to strength, Father. Grant grace to everyone. Grant fresh hunger, fresh revelation, fresh hunger to move into the greatness of who you are, Father. I give you the glory, Lord. I give you all the glory for this. I thank you for what you have given us and the salvation that we have. Father, you've glorified his name so he can glorify thee, Father. Amen, amen.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.